Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted podcast host. I'm here with Anna of Total Home Rescue. Can you give yourself an introduction and focus on the things that you have done in your life that make you a trustworthy expert?
Hi, Jeremy. Thank you for having me here on your podcast today. My name is Anna, as you said, and I'm the owner of Total Home Rescue. What we do is we are a water damage restoration, mold remediation, and a build back company located in Washington, D.C., and we serve across Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. We help homeowners when they have a disaster at their homes. For example, if their apartment or house gets flooded or there is mold somewhere, we're always happy to help to remove everything and to build your house back to what it looked like before the damage.
What's one of the most extreme cases that you've run across? I'm working right now with H&H Construction. They do remodels. So I know what it looks like when you have that dream situation of like, we're doing more, we're making things better, but what's the worst encounter that you've had with home damage that you've been engaged to work on?
Once we had a house, it was a three-story house, probably around 4,000 square feet, and it was all mold everywhere, like personal belongings, walls, floors, ceilings, everywhere. And we came out there after one of their plumbers, they just refused to work with them because of the mold. So in total, all that project cost them about $200,000. It was all mold. There was I don't know how that person actually lived there, because after you spend maybe 30 minutes at that house, you really get sick. I think, from my opinion, it was the worst project ever. And yeah, that was really crazy. That was really crazy. And what is more important, we also help homeowners to talk to the insurance, because you know insurance, they don't really like paying out to people. So we do help them with that too. And it was a really terrible thing, because before we started, the insurance did not want to cover anything.
That's crazy.
But luckily we did solve this issue, and the insurance agreed to pay. Yeah, but that was the most terrible thing I've ever saw in my life.
What are, for somebody who has a much less extreme case, what are some of the indicators around the house? I mean, obviously, if you're getting sick after 30 minutes and even a plumber will refuse to work in there, that's pretty extreme. What are some of the signs that you kind of listen for when people are talking to you that there might be, a mold issue?
Definitely the first part and the most important thing, if they have ever, even 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, if they had even a small leak somewhere, because sometimes even a tiny small leak can lead to a huge problem. And the second one is definitely smell. Sometimes you can smell some musty odors somewhere, for example, at the corner of one room or under the sink. I do really recommend to every homeowner to look deeper into this issue, or even hire someone to check for them, because if you wait, it could lead to horrible disasters.
With a mold remediation, are you looking at like wholesale pulling out walls? Is it just kind of have to go in with not necessarily a blowtorch, but kind of that mentality of we have to cut out entire sections of your house and replace them?
To be honest, not really. Sometimes you can just wipe, you can spray and wipe out this mold and cover it with special antimicrobial chemistry products. And most homeowners actually want you just to spray and move on. because I don't know why, but many people think, oh, mold is not something serious. You can use a bleach, right, to get rid of it. It's not true. So most of homeowners we're dealing with, they just want to wipe something out and that's it. But sometimes we have to demolish everything to the ground.
Got it. What are some of the other types of home damage that you have worked through?
We also work with water damage. For example, a pipe burst pipe somewhere in the apartment or a house or a huge commercial, for example, parking gets flooded. That's what we also help with. We can remove all the water and dry everything out again to avoid mold as well.
Yeah, I had a situation with a pinhole leak with a copper piping. Ended up replacing all of that copper piping with PEX. Is piping replacement something in your repertoire, or do you farm that out to a plumbing company?
No, we work with plumbers and this is their job. We just handle what is happening after they fix everything.
Got it. That makes sense. So you said that you also work with commercial buildings and commercial
Yes.
situations. What's kind of the difference for you guys between those two models of working B2B versus business to consumer?
You know, there is not so much difference. The only thing is, with commercials, you definitely have more paperwork to do. But with regards to pricing or conversations, not so much difference, I would say. Basically, it's not really different for us because the issues are same and the protocols of dealing with it are same. We have IICRC codes that regulate how we should what we should do in every single situation, and it's same for commercial and for private homes.
If you were talking about, are there any legal challenges that you've faced or difficulties with, for those commercial spaces, with working with landlords where you've got tenants trying to get things covered, or working with insurance and it's through a building and gets more complicated that way?
You know, with us, no, because from the very start, okay, let me say it this way. This is not my first business that I do, and I'm a legal freak. What I mean is, I wouldn't do anything until you
Got
sign.
it.
And you have to sign something that covers my interests and your interests. So before everybody signs what I need, I don't do anything. So I don't have these issues. But I do know that many, many, many contractors in our field and in other fields, they do struggle with that because of lack of the paperwork. For example, and as you can see here from my accent, I'm not from this country, right? And in the US, it's not that common that contractors, for example, sign certificate of satisfaction after they finish the job. And if you don't sign it with the homeowner, landlord, whoever, there is a possibility they go to court and say, oh, I don't like what they did, right? And they could say, oh, I didn't like the quality of the job or something like that. But if you sign this paper, there is basically no way they can win that court, right? Because they basically signed, I'm satisfied with what you did. So, answering your question, we don't have any legal issues because we are all wrapped up in paperwork. And I never, even if I talk to the homeowner on the phone or with a landlord or with insurance, even if I talk on the phone and we agree on something, I still send an email and ask for the confirmation that they received my email and they are okay with what is stated in this email, just to avoid any kind of arguments in the future. Because when you talk on the phone, well, that's your word against his
yes.
word, right? But when it's in writing and both parties confirmed what is mentioned there, there are not so many chances there would be a problem. But am I still here? We do have issues with insurance with regards that they do want to cut your estimate. They do want to cut your invoice all the time. And they do try to delay paying out to you or to the homeowner. But I also do know how to deal with it. And I can't do it just because the paperwork is in the right place, you know?
That makes sense. You gave a little bit of hint about your backstory. Can you give us a little bit bigger picture about Anna, where you came from and how you fell into the business of, you know, fixing people's broken homes?
You know, a little bit about me is I never think the business through before I start it. It's always like, you know, I hang out with my friends and they say, oh, you cannot do it. And I go, do you want to bet that I can? So usually that's how it goes with me. If I ever, when I try to think everything through to create a business plan, never works out for me. But when I do a business by accident, it works very well. Now, I'm telling you, for example, I do this water damage business right now, right? I did a dentistry clinic before. I had a clothing brand before. So there were a bunch of other things I did before, and all of them were created by accident. Yeah. So answering your question again, it was an accident that I'm here. I just heard, I don't remember exactly, I just heard from someone that if there is water damage, it could be covered by insurance. And I was thinking, okay, we are in the United States. Plumbing work here is, you know, is a very, okay, people need plumbers all the
yeah.
time. Pipes get burst all the time. So people have water damage all the time and mold all the time. And since everyone has to have insurance, it means you do not have to talk to the homeowner and tell them, hey, you need to pay me this much or that much. No, you just go and talk with the insurance. You leave the homeowner aside from it. You just make this homeowner feel confident and safe. Because they already know, okay, even if it's $200,000 or $1 million, they don't have to pay anything because we will take care of the insurance side of it. So it was by accident, as I said. I just heard from someone and started. And I started with basically $0. Yeah.
How many, how big is your team? How many projects are you in to... at this time, how many projects have you completed so far? Mm-hmm. And what's kind of on the horizon? Are you looking to, you know, keep growing within your particular area, spin up additional teams, or are you going to keep this as it is and look for another accident to fall into?
At this moment, my team is 10 people. And if it's not enough, I can always hire a contractor. I do have a bunch of people who I can call and they will help me out if my team is not enough. At this moment, I have 7 ongoing projects. And usually I have 15 projects per month. But I'm looking to increase this amount to 45 projects per month. And I do have a plan for it. I just need to wait some time. Because my company was registered not so long ago, and at this moment I cannot go into government contracts, or I cannot be a preferred vendor for many insurance companies because my company was not registered so long ago, because they do have requirements. And definitely I'm looking to expand, but I do not want to expand to other
Okay.
states. I want to stay here and to grow here because I do know the market and I live here, and if anything happens, I can be physically on site to check what's going on.
That makes sense. My other question is, as a business owner, visibility being found. My friend at SEOteric says, ChatGPT is your least trained but most popular customer support representative. There's all these new ways that businesses are being found. Like, I just helped a small company register, in the past month their business, and within an hour the first cold pitch marketing email hit their inbox, and then they received a series of spam calls saying, "Oh, we're Google and you need to pay us $50."
Oh,
And
yes. Oh, my God,
I'm
yes.
wondering from, a small business owner perspective, how you're taking in that marketing challenge. What has been some of the ways that you've gotten the word out about your business that's been successful? And what is your, general marketing strategy for the next year?
I have a few directions in marketing that I'm, where I'm going to. I don't want to disclose
Sure.
everything, but one part is definitely digital marketing, and I do include targeting. I do include lead generation platforms like Thumbtack or stuff like that, Google Local Services ads, and SEO definitely. Second one is referrals, and we have a paid referral program for plumbers, HVAC people, or anyone else who wants to send me a referral. I'm willing to pay from 10 to 35% of what I get to a person who brought me a referral.
Yeah, that's smart.
The third, actually, plumbers don't like that. They say it's too difficult for them. Because many other restoration companies, they just give them $1,000 for every lead, even if this lead doesn't sign with them, they still pay to the plumber. I'm not in that position yet, but I will be. I hopefully soon. And my third direction of marketing is I wouldn't say it's marketing, but it's cold outreach to property managers, to whatever businesses who might need us. So I just do cold outreach. And the first direction of our development is talking to insurance companies more and more, and to finally become a preferred vendor or use TPA networks. TPA network is when an insurance company. Okay, it's basically same as preferred vendor. I'm not gonna take our time to describe what this is. So yeah, this is our goal for this year. And I'm thinking it's gonna be fine because I started to do our website SEO probably 2 months ago. And I can tell you that I receive at least two leads per week only from SEO, and I invested $0 in that.
That's fantastic. I think there's like I've talked, I've been doing search engine optimization for over 20 years and, worked with a number of different niches and industries, and when it comes to local services, there's such a high return on investment of just handling some of the fundamentals. Just literally just say what it is you do here. Take the time to fill out your Google My Business profile in depth and synchronize it with your social media profiles and, couple that with a good LSA ad program.
And you're done.
There's so much meat on that bone. I mean, you can keep going, but it's crazy to me how many audits of small businesses I've done where that's not, they don't even have a website, like
And also, what I heard, it was not from a construction person, it was from a public adjuster. Public adjuster is a person who helps homeowners if they have a huge claim. For example, their roof is damaged, right? And the claim is over $100,000, $200,000. So those people, they help homeowners to, again, to talk to the insurance and get their money. So what I heard from public adjusters that many of them, they just do networking. They don't care about their websites, about their Google business page. They're just, okay, I'm fine with the referrals. I partner up with roofing companies and I'm okay. But recently the law was changed. And those people who did not invest in their SEO, they lost probably 45 to 50% of their revenue.
Wow.
Because they cannot do that amount of referrals anymore. So they lost a huge percentage of their revenue because they were not investing.
That's a good point. My friend, Chris Tweeten, he does Calgary SEO. And he looks at the whole process as, as a business investment, on the marketing side, because SEO is an interesting beast, because it's unlike a direct paid channel where you pay in and it'll stop right away. It is an ongoing thing, and it can boost and tie in and provide value in so many different ways. Like, if you're on the phone on your salesperson convincing somebody about, how you do mold remediation, you can save 15 minutes by just creating a resource page and say, "This is our process. I'm emailing you a resource page on how it works." If you're struggling on clarifying how the insurance process, if they need specific documents, you can add that to your website, support your existing customer, and then also flip that on its script, because people are going to be asking that question: how do I deal with insurance with my home damage? Well, if you have that resource, you have the chance to organically show up on it. So, thinking of it as a hybrid investment in your business, is, in my opinion, just a smart way to go.
Absolutely. And moreover, if business owners did really spend some time to count how much their conversion rate is and what their return on marketing investment is, I assure you the numbers will be higher for search engine optimization. I'm sure about that. Conversion rates are higher. For example, you convert 20% of people who call you from advertising, from paid advertising, and you convert 30% of people who call you from SEO, because people who did read through your website, they come more prepared and they are, I would say, hotter customers than others because they already know something about you, right? And they already trust you, they already know that you have some authority on that, right? So the conversion rate will be higher on SEO customers.
I'll
From my experience.
absolutely agree, hard agree. As to kind of round out this interview, I'm curious what you're passionate about, what it is that you wish people knew more about. So I'm going to give you a digital soapbox for a moment that you can stand on and tell the people listening whatever you'd like for them to know. What is it that you wish people knew in general?
What people, business owners,
Your choice.
homeowners, or
Your
everyone?
choice.
Okay, let me try. I don't know. But okay, let me try. So I start
Yep, go
now,
ahead.
right? Okay. With business owners, I wish everyone everyone knew that a system is the most important thing that you can have in your business. You should not rely on yourself only. You should rely on your documents, on instructions that you have for your employees, and on numbers. If at least 50% of businesses, small businesses, had it, I'm telling you, they will be 20% more successful money-wise. And with regards to homeowners, just guys, please check your house for mold at least once a year and check if you have any leaks under your kitchen right now.
Love it. Thank you. Thanks so much for your time. Give a shout out again to your company name, where people can find you online. Are you mostly on Instagram, on LinkedIn? I'll make sure that that info also gets added to the show notes.
Mm-hmm. So we are Total Home Rescue. Our website is totalhomerescue.pro, and we are on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, where else? YouTube. You can find us pretty much anywhere, and the nickname is Total Home Rescue. Feel free to follow us and ask any questions you might have, even if you're not in our area.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time, Anna.
Thank you. It was nice talking to you, Jeremy.